As the children leave to go to the back, and we're going to have our reading this morning, which comes from John's Gospel, John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Can be found on page 145 of the New Testament section of our church Bibles. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me." Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I can already hear you sniggering. Yes, you, especially you at the back. I can hear you whispering, look, doubting Thomas. It's really not fair. You don't name any of the other disciples that way. You don't say, look, abandoning Peter or denying Peter. You don't even say, look, betraying Judas. You don't name any of the other disciples that way. You don't. For that matter, why can't you call me twin, Thomas? That's what the disciples did. Or you could call me loyal and brave, Thomas. After all, when all the other disciples were whining, "Oh, if we go back to Judea, we're going to get stoned to death, poor us," I said, well then, I'll go to Judea and die with Jesus. Or you could call me inquisitive, Thomas. After all, there was that time when Jesus told us that he was going somewhere, and he claimed we already knew where he was going. Truth be told, Jesus really gives us too much credit sometimes. Everyone else just nodded solemnly like they knew what he was talking about. Not me, though. I actually wanted to make sure that I knew what he was talking about. I chose to ask the dumb question that no one else wanted to ask. What are you talking about? But no, I'm stuck with the name. I'm stuck as doubting Thomas. doubting, all because of one incident. He died for crying out loud. We'd all seen it. Our Lord hung there like a criminal on the cross. And then later, Mary told us that he'd risen from the dead. We didn't believe her. None of us. Not one. We all doubted her. That's why the disciples locked themselves in the upper room. They didn't trust that if Jesus could come to Mary, he could come to all of us. Yet I get the name Doubting Thomas. My point is this. We all doubted. I at least went outside. I wasn't afraid to die. I didn't lock myself in the room out of fear. I figured that if they killed me for knowing Jesus, then so be it. Yet I'm a doubter. It's not easy to rise from the ruins. It really isn't. Jesus met with us person by person, group by group, picking up all the pieces. It was as though Jesus met with each of us in our need, restoring his kingdom bit by bit. Mary was such a mess. She needed to meet him first in the garden, and then the two on their way to Emmaus. And they knew it was him in the breaking of bread. And then the 10 of them in the locked room. I wasn't in the room the first time, so I missed out. Next time I saw him, the other disciples, they were changed. They told me about being breathed on, how that changed everything for them. That seemed kind of strange to me. Honestly, being breathed on by a dead man. Think of halitosis. But I couldn't knock it. It gave them peace. It changed them from frightened fishermen holding out to bold preachers. And I was jealous of that. Maybe that's a better name for me, Jealous Thomas. I'd agree with that. I was jealous of their new status, their new boldness. I mean, I was the bold one after all, but not after seeing them. I just wanted in that one moment to see what they had seen. I just needed to see it, to touch it, to experience it before I was willing to risk relationship again. What's wrong with that? I felt like the person who'd misread the worship time at the synagogue and got there in time for the blessing only to go home again without even hearing anything. I felt like I'd missed out on the most wonderful piece of news. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they'd seen him. I couldn't believe the transformation that had overcome them. I couldn't believe. Well, if I'm really honest, I couldn't believe that I'd missed it. I missed Jesus coming back. I missed the peace that they felt. I felt left out. I was jealous of them. I went so far as to cut myself off from the community by not trusting their words. It was their words I doubted, not him. Never him. Never God and never Jesus. Just missing his return. Missing out what they had all had. That changing moment. I missed it. And it didn't help that they were so excited about that forgiving and retaining sins thing. In fact, they tried it out on me. I think they meant well, but it felt like they believed that doubt was a sin. Do you know what it feels like to have your brothers and sisters whisper and then say aloud that you're a sinner because you doubt? A sinner because you weren't there in that room. A sinner because you missed out. A sinner because they were all certain and your uncertainty makes them feel uncomfortable. They were changed and I missed it. They were gung-ho and I was still in the depths of mourning. It made me pull away from them, even though they were trying their best to continue to be my brother. They went so far as to call me a sinner for doubting, for being doubting Thomas. And because of that, I blew up. I said something I didn't really mean. I said I would not believe if I squidged my fingers around in his wounds. Macabre and gross if you think about it. But I was in despair. While everybody else had experienced resurrection, I was still in grief and despair. Not doubting, but despairing. Despairing Thomas. Not doubting Thomas. Somehow I toughed it out. I came back despite all that. I showed up in that room with them the next week. There with them, a voice came from behind me and said, "Peace be with you." And he took that gross challenge I'd thrown at my brothers and at God, the challenge of poking my fingers in his wounds, and made it a redeemable moment, a place in which I could believe, a place beyond my despair. He said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put them in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And in that moment I shouted, "My Lord and my God." That's where things get complicated. Most people think that what Jesus said to me next was a rebuke, that Jesus so called me a sinner for not being with them, with the other disciples, for being a doubting Thomas. But it wasn't a rebuke. He just asked me a rhetorical question. "Have you believed because you see me?" And then he looked past me through that room and out into eternity, to future generations, to each one of you, and blessed them, saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It wasn't a rebuke, it was a blessing for all those followers of Jesus who came after us. He was promising them, promising you, his love and faithfulness, his resurrection, his peace, his forgiveness, his good news for them, for you. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about my doubting, but about his blessing that conquered the grave and conquered our despair and division and continues to bring life to this day, to every moment. If I'm doubting Thomas, you all are blessed disciples. You all are blessed followers of Jesus. You are all blessed children of God. I sometimes hear people say, "Don't tell me what to believe, show me. Don't tell me about God and your faith. I just want to see, feel, hear, and experience it for myself. I'm not going to believe because the church or scripture tells me to. Show me. Show me out in the world. Show me in your daily life." Jesus gave me exactly what I needed in order to believe in him. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and place them in my side." The resurrection is real, Thomas. You can believe. I have come back here to make a relationship with you. I couldn't believe until I got intimately involved in the very body of Jesus Christ. I don't want a faith where you can believe from a safe distance. And Jesus showed up for all those others too, even though they were in the room with the locked doors. Whether we're locked up inside and afraid to go out into the world, or whether you're like me saying, unless I experience it myself, I won't believe. The good news is that Jesus appears to us to show us each and every one that the resurrection is real. He loves us into a relationship with him. And then he says, peace. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And he breathes his Holy Spirit on us. All the power that we need to go through the doors and out into the world, helping people experience that resurrection, that it is real for them too. And then a whole new generation will join me and you in saying with a bold and loud voice, my Lord and my God. Amen.